At the sentencing trial of Zacharias Moussaoui today, prosecutors shifted their focus to Flight 93 and to the Pentagon. Moussaoui has pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit air piracy and other crimes. The government is trying to convince the jury to sentence Moussaoui to death. And before presenting witnesses about the planes that crashed in Pennsylvania and Virginia, prosecutors elicited more emotional testimony from families of the New York victims.
NPR's Larry Abramson is at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia. Larry, what did we learn about Flight 93, and how did prosecutors present that story?
Well, of course, Flight 93, Michelle, is the only flight that didn't reach its intended target. It crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. And we learned quite a bit from phone calls that were made from the plane. A New Jersey State police officer, went through 37 different phone calls that were made and summarized them. We didn't actually get to hear the tape. Many family members just wanted to say goodbye to their loved ones. But some of them described three men with knives, and they said a bomb. They said that two people had been killed in these various phone calls, and possibly those two men might have been the pilots. They then talked about plans to retake the plane, and that's about when many of those calls were cut off. All the passengers had been herded to the back of the plane, and they made most of their calls from airphone devices in the seat backs. The jury did get to hear air traffic control tape very briefly at the moment of hijacking. It was apparently the pilot saying, "Mayday, mayday, get out of here." And it's obviously the hijackers trying to get into the cockpit. That was not the highly anticipated cockpit voice recording that we're going to hear in court tomorrow, only once.
Now, after more than 2 days of focusing on the World Trade Center, the prosecutor shifted the attention to Flight 93, as we said. How did they make that shift to Flight 93 and also the Pentagon?
Well, they began with the Pentagon, and first they brought in an enormous model of the Pentagon. In fact, it was so large they couldn't even use it because it took up too much of the courtroom. Then an FBI agent came in and gave a very cold, straightforward description of the crash, showing some models, showing some pictures of the fire, and that's how the prosecution has been generally proceeding, is describing the crash in an unemotional way and then giving the family witness testimony. The jury was then shown some extremely graphic pictures of charred bodies from the Pentagon. They were barely recognizable as human bodies, but they conveyed how intense the heat must have been in the Pentagon. And then they moved on to more victim testimony that was just as heartbreaking as the testimony from the members of the World Trade Center, who talked about the losses of their family members.
We also heard more testimony from survivors of the World Trade Center attacks. What did they have to say?
I don't think you can say they added new information, but again, it was very gripping, very emotional. One woman testified while her two young sons, 13 and 11-year-old boys, were sitting in the courtroom crying very softly. Another man described looking all over lower Manhattan for his son. He broke a lot of laws and went past a lot of checkpoints desperately trying to find his son. He gets to a hospital. He's told that his son is there, overjoyed. His whole family rushes over to the hospital, only to find out that it was another patient, that it was a case of mistaken identity. And he talked about how devastating it was to go from that high to that low.
Now, the judge has said that the prosecutors might be piling on too much with all this wrenching emotional testimony. Just quickly, Larry, might prosecutors back off a bit going into tomorrow?
They're working under some limits about the number of photos they can display and how long people can testify for, and there have been repeated objections by the defense to many of the displays. Nevertheless, even with those limits, the jury is hearing dozens of grieving, traumatized victims. Defense attorneys don't like this stuff. They think it's prejudicial, but there's only so much that they can do. They can, of course, preserve it for appeal, and that's apparently what these objections are for.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
NPR's Larry Abramson at the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia.